When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And now, gambling terms. Push, a wager that results in a tie. Even money, bet with the same payout as you wager. Legit, knowing where it's truly legal to gamble in Colorado. You can enjoy legal gaming in Black Hawk, Central City, Cripple Creek, as well as licensed online sports and off-track betting in Colorado. Play legit and gamble only where it's legal. Learn more now at PlayLegitCo.com. A message from the Colorado Division of Gaming. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, Episode 69.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we give you a glimpse into the world of the biggest voice actors in the industry over a delicious cup of coffee. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there, my name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to get to know more about me, feel free to check out my website at www.andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we've got a two-for-one with some really good buddies of mine. Tim Friedlander and Jay Preston are incredibly prolific voiceover artists in their own right and are the true definition of pioneers in this industry and have created business after business, resource after resource to train, nurture, and advocate for voiceover artists everywhere. In this episode, we discuss NAVA. It's been a buzzword of an organization around the industry, but what is it and how was it created? Vorg, the ultimate voiceover resource guide, VO weekly workouts, and where AI might make sense in VO.
So Tim and Jay, how are you guys doing today?
Great.
Doing good.
Awesome, Saz.
How you doing?
Yeah, good. I'm doing great. It's good to have you. So you guys are really good at filling gaps in the VO industry, but like how do you guys start off your day? How do you take your coffee?
Oh, geez.
Good question.
Go ahead. You start.
A long walk to the coffee shop to sit and get coffee. That's how I start my day. Coffee shop in the paper.
Do you do that to like get out of the house or do you just prefer?
Yeah, otherwise I'm never going to leave my house. If I don't ever go get coffee, I'm never going to leave the house.
Okay.
That's right. It. Yep.
Gotcha. What about you, Jay?
For me, yeah, me and my wife, we literally take an hour every morning. We actually wake up extra early just so we can take an hour with our coffee. Because we're not very good morning people. So like we just basically are quiet and just drink our coffee for 1 hour without any social media or nothing or phone.
I do the exact same thing. And then my partner and I do that. Yeah.
Recently getting up and going on a walk as well for like an hour. So it's like we're getting up, having one cup, and then we go on a walk for an hour and no one's around. It's quiet. And then we let the world happen to us after.
Heard. Okay. So like you guys do like a lot of organizations and businesses together, but like not to ask this like you're an old married couple, but like how did you two meet? Like how did your like paths end up coming together?
Passed and met in a hallway at the VO dojo at a fight club night and we bonded over hats.
You bonded over hats?
Yeah. That's pretty much what it was. Yeah, it was Mew, me, Jason Vanderbreak. Who else was in that? Eric from the Fat Dog.
Yeah.
We all met at like same night. VO dojo at a workout group. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. Just trying to garner some knowledge from people doing things better than we could. So, and we're just sitting there quietly outside of it. And then we just started talking and just became pretty fast friends after that. Me and Tim, we
jumped right into everything together after that point.
Together and yeah.
So were you guys the ones that started the VO weekly workouts?
Yeah.
We actually, when I met Tim, I had just started the VO Collective. So that was like back in 2011. And I brought Tim in, and Tim had been such an incredible asset to the to us then. It was like he was already took over like monitoring. If I missed something, if something happened in the group, Tim would be like texting me, did you see what you like, you're like really in on it then, you know?
Yeah.
As that kind of just started to build, you know, he'd bring people in, I'd bring people in. I would go to his workout group, Gardner.
Yeah. Gardner Street Workout. Yeah.
So it kind of just started to build this really nice, trusting friendship together from then.
Yeah.
So when you guys were creating those weekly workouts, like how were you differentiating yourself from like other weekly workouts or other voiceover workouts that were going on, like VO Heaven or like the other ones that exist?
I mean, they all kind of operate under the same kind of concepts. You know, I think ours, we were doing in-person workouts. So Jay and I were doing, you know, we were doing a one on Wednesday and then a guest director on Wednesday and then just a peer led one on Thursdays. And then the VO weekly workout started the day that Voice123 was bought Voice Bank. And so we knew because they used to do this exact same thing. The VO weekly workout was what the Voice Bank used to do. And we knew that Voice123 probably, or Voices.com wasn't, sorry, make sure we know it's Voices.com, not Voice123.
Right.
Voices.com. We knew that Voices.com was probably not going to maintain the educational side of things, which they didn't. I mean, they shut it down within days of purchasing Voice Bank. The Voice Bank workouts were, the weekly workouts were done. So myself, Jay, and Brad Venable put that together and we launched the VO weekly workouts. I think we put the website together that morning and we were up and running within about 6 weeks, I think, with our first guests. Yeah.
And for us, that workout that disappeared was, I was using it all the time and I got like two agents out of it and just
fantastic, tons
of knowledge and stuff. So we all knew how valuable that was as a resource, something to do. I mean, I had no money then at all. So it's like any workshop I did, anything I did to like try to better what I was doing and what we were doing was just like, you know, I had to really weigh the options. Even if it was like $10.
Do
I have that this week? You know, so it's like we wanted to keep something like that alive where it's like, even if you're just scraping by, but you have the passion and the drive, you know, where can I learn? Can I keep my instrument sharp? So that's why we did that. Super important. Yeah. It's been going strong. How many years has it been now?
God, was that 20? I mean, I want to say that's 2017 or so. So 2017, 2018, 2017. No, it was 2017, maybe even 2016. That is a good question. Let's do a little Googling here. Voices.com.
So you create the Voiceover Collective first, or were you doing the weekly workouts first and then you just kind of like all encompassed it?
VO Collective first.
And okay.
Group. And then we just kept bringing people in that we trusted. And then Tim had his Gardner Street group, and that was more of an in-person thing. Yeah. And then once a month together, we created these get-togethers, like called Wine About VO.
Okay.
Everyone would get together, and I'd made it a point because I'd seen like get-togethers before where everyone just sits in their one little spot. And so I always made it a point from the beginning to like make sure we all mingle and get together and move your spots and don't just sit in the same seat. And so like we kind of had fun doing all that, and we started doing like a holiday event.
Yeah.
And then I had to get out of the social media game and world. So when I did that, I talked to Tim and he turned the VO Collective into the Gardner Collective. So it's a merging of the two groups. And now he runs all of that social media wise with his team. And I run the website, the VO Collective website. Yep. So that's kind of how that world worked. And then VO Weekly Workout came out of that. And then Nava was born.
Right. Out of all of that.
Out of all of that in the dream. Yeah. And then I got to over as creative director on the Voiceover Resource Guide because of all of that. So it's like everything kind of just kept going in the direction that we kind of talked about that first day at VO. I was like, wouldn't it be nice to the world like this? And, you know, all the years later, it's like, it's kind of amazing, really. Yeah. We're blown away all the time when we actually stop and think about it. You know, we take like 2 seconds to stop doing the many things that we do. And we think about like how this has happened.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And you put on the VO Collective website that it was originally supposed to be everything that you wish that you had when you started in VO. So aside from like the workouts and the resources, what were like those other missing pieces of information that you feel like would have really accelerated your career that you've kind of incorporated into it?
Just like it took so long back then to try to figure out what workshop to go to next or what class to go to next. Is it, am I going to waste my money? Because it all stemmed from, you know, I was waiting tables and I had an extra 100 this week, you know? It's like, where do I put that? That's important. You know, I don't want to waste it. Well, I needed a trustworthy place to, like, know where the knowledge should go. Like, what book should I get next? Which one should I read? Who's the next coach that's kind of like that coach? What kind of demo do I want to do? I want to hear the demo. So, like, even the demo page, you can go through all the demo producers and listen to the demos, and back to back, you can hear the difference in how they sound. And so, like, nothing like that existed.
Yeah.
And then where do I go? Like, we had one of the first studio maps on that page. It was only because me and Tim would go. And then we could talk to them and put them on the map. And then other people could be like, oh, wow, there was a map. And we even had a VOBNB for a while.
Yeah, yeah. We tried. Which we launched right pre-COVID, I think, end of 2019, early 2020. We were like, let's do a whole VOBNB thing.
Everybody cool. who's got, that would be know. Cool. Just yeah, wrong timing.
Yeah. It was. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then we had to, like, shut that down quick.
Yeah.
So like, what was the purpose of making it now the Garner Collective? Like what's the plan for evolution in that?
I don't know.
You don't know?
It's a good question. You know, it kind of just became an evolution of, you know, it basically became the VoiceOver Collective went off from social media, off of Facebook, and went into becoming a full website. And then the Garner Collective is just kind of, you know, we kind of have kept it as, you know, a peer led kind of, hopefully, place where you can just go. It doesn't get used a huge amount, but where you can go and just kind of get some honest information about something that you need. And so, you know, we try and keep it. There's not a lot of, like, there's no political stuff in there, like political stuff. You know, we're not trying to do, you know, much of that stuff. But hopefully where you can go and ask a question, you know, ask some questions to get some kind of high level answers. We try and keep it, you know, working pros as much as possible, but also a good mix of, you know, new people to the industry as well. But, you know, I mean, that kind of has evolved all into Nava, where Nava is kind of, you know, all encompassing of the Gardner Collective and the VoiceOver Collective of what we wanted to see those things be originally, you know. And so that's kind of where it's gone.
What is kind of like the purpose behind Nava? Because it's a lot of people associate it with two things, either AI or healthcare.
Yeah.
So, like, what was the original purpose behind founding Nava?
I mean, the original purpose was basically to kind of take what we had done in the VoiceOver Collective and the Gardner Collective and Karin's group, the Voice Actors of NYC, and bring that to the larger community of voice actors that wasn't just in LA and New York. You know, so one of the things about, you know, with the VOC and even with the Gardner's, you know, with my studio, is that you got to be in LA to attend any of the stuff that we were doing. So we wanted to try and figure out a way to branch out of that and kind of, you know, kind of become kind of the same thing we did with the VO Collective and some of the other things, is kind of fill in the holes and see where the little things are missing, you know. So healthcare was missing, AI was, you know, we didn't know it was missing. It was purely accidental that we got into it. But, you know, like the new demo red flags that we have, kind of best practices for demos, you know, the scam page that we have, that are all things that have been out there, but we wanted to try and reach a bigger audience with that and get, you know, kind of a more centralized area where you can find all this, very much like, you know, the VoiceOver Collective, but find all that and really, you know, primarily to be able to advocate for voiceover within the larger entertainment industry, within SAG-AFTRA, within the global market, within the, you know, the changing global landscape that is voiceover. There's nobody who was really advocating for the voiceover industry within that larger global landscape. And that's kind of, you know, our overarching idea, is to be able to navigate this, especially this kind of, you know, this information gulf that exists between the non-union and the union world, to be able to guide some of these non-union actors who do maybe one day want to be in the union, or those who want to be in the union but don't know when or don't know how. So that's kind of this bridge that we see ourselves being in that area. So
you see yourself as that gap, as advocating for actors between union and non-union?
I think advocating for voiceover regardless of union or non-union.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, because voiceover exists in, you know, as we all know, anybody who's done anything in any other genre, on camera, theater, music, the voiceover exists in a wholly different realm and operates completely different than any of those other areas of arts. And it's kind of, you know, because you don't see us, sometimes we get lost. Like, you see musicians, right. You see theater actors, you see stage, you know, you see stage actors, you see screen actors. You don't always see the voice actors, which is, for a lot of people, that's why, you know, that's why they do this, is why they do, but they don't want to be seen. But it also creates a sense of anonymity that also makes the industry itself somewhat anonymous, in that you don't really, know this person that you're hearing every day. You don't know who that is versus somebody you see on TV every day. You recognize that actor, but the voice you hear every day, you subconsciously know it, but you don't really fully know who they are. And that, I think, you know, and the way that we operate just gets lost in that discussion a lot of times. We're supportive of SAG-AFTRA. I'm a SAG-AFTRA member. Jay's SAG-AFTRA member. But it is Screen Actors Guild first and the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists second. So, and, you know, there's 160,000 or 170,000 members, and the majority of them are on camera, and that's where the focus is. And you know, as it would be, you know, and you go where the majority of your members need the help and, you know, where the concerns are. So it's just the nature of the beast of what SAG-AFTRA is that it's going to be a on-camera union primarily with a lot of people working in the voiceover industry, but not fully understanding what we are doing. But the discussion this year has changed, you know, voices being, you know, if you hear a lot of these things that's happening in SAG-AFTRA, voice is now explicitly called out. You're seeing this in legislation where voice is specifically added to legislation. And that's a lot to do with what a lot of people have been doing over the last few years to try and raise the industry.
So, I mean, most of that conversation has been around AI, but like outside of AI, what are specific parts of the industry that you have been advocating for? Like, can you give me like something specific you're trying to put into legislation?
Well, for legislation specifically, we're trying to get voice protected in a way that it's not currently protected, because voice is not currently protected in any way whatsoever. We're trying to raise the understanding and education around working on demos and working with demo producers and how you should look for those, and making sure that, you know, voice actors don't get, you know, scammed in that. And, you know, Nava itself can provide that information. The VORG, can provide what to look out for. Then the VORG can provide those places to go and look. And the VORG is, you know, where we have all the information in there. Okay. So if, you know, you're trying to find a demo producer, you know, Nava will tell you what to look for. The VORG will tell you who to, you know, where to find them. I'm looking for a coach, you know, Nava, our best practices can tell you what to look for. And then the VORG can tell you where to find them. And, you know, people that are in your area or remote or virtual, depending on what you're looking for. And then, you know, then the next big thing that we're trying to do, and this will be as we grow next year, is our Pathways Initiative, which is guidance for what pathway to take through your career, depending on what your goal is. So whether you're looking at going union, non-union, FICOR, what does that mean? Is there somebody to talk to? You know, and we'll have, that's our one of our big pushes for the early part of next year, is to have a real strong guidance section for those who are trying to figure out whether to go in the union or not.
Okay. And what are you trying to, I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to interrupt you, Jay, but like, what are you trying to push on SAG? Like you mentioned that SAG is Screen Actors First. So what are different things that you see SAG is missing in the voiceover community?
You know, I think it's just a general understanding that we operate differently and we operate at a different speed. And, you know, Jay does a lot of on camera as well, but at the speed at which these things operate is really kind of the biggest thing that I see.
Collective and me and Tim and all that were so good at doing in the beginning. It's like, it's an organization of people who can the VO Weekly Workout is a perfect example. It's like the industry, something happened in the industry and that something went away. And like in 24 hours, we had it back up and working because it was useful. Right. But, you know, other organizations, not to say they're bad or anything, it just takes a lot longer because they're a lot bigger and there's a lot more hoops to run through and stuff like that. Whereas people like us, we can just get something up. Like when the last video game strike was happening, they used the VO Collective a lot to just get information out quickly. That needed to be out quickly. You remember that? And and we used that kind of stuff just so it's like we're not in competition. We're just helpful. We're just trying to help thing and all the right information get pushed out fast. And it's like right now we need to find a space where, you know, as people are trying to figure out this AI thing, it's like, you know, we got vocal variants going and, you know, they're navigating those murky waters, and then as soon as we get something valid, like somebody like me or Tim can just throw it on either the Nava site, the VO Collective site, and put it out in a newsletter or put it up, you know, so there's the good information. We know where we can find it, trust, you know, because it doesn't exist yet, because there's so much that I haven't narrowed it down to a page on the site. Like I want to narrow it down and have like, this is what we should use, this is what we shouldn't use, this is what you need to look out for. Like once we can organize that, you know, and we're going fast. So like we'll have that up way before anyone else, but it's just like a matter of making sure we get the right info up rather than just putting it out.
Yeah.
And where do you guys see that AI might have a rightful place in VO? Because I've seen a lot of people creating AI clones specifically for them to be able to license out, say, for like a newspaper company, where it wouldn't make sense to read an entire newspaper, but they want to get that into voiceover so that maybe the blind could hear it. So like, what are places that you feel like AI has a place?
I mean, there are the impossible jobs, and it should be used in the impossible jobs and not to use to replace people.
Right.
You know, can use to enhance somebody's job and enhance somebody's business, but not take it away from them. So, you know, all those places that it's, you know, that you talked about, you know, there are, you know, possibilities of licensing this out and doing it so that it supplements what you do. So, you know, while you're sleeping, your AI, you know, your synthetic voice is out there doing a job that you couldn't do otherwise, but not where it's going to replace people. And that's where we're at right now, is trying to figure out how to make sure it doesn't replace people.
Yeah, you want to make sure nobody creates one and then all of a sudden you're no longer needed for pickups. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. So do you guys use any form of AI within these organizations? Like maybe even just for administrative stuff? Are you guys incorporating AI into any of your businesses?
I don't think so. We might have, you know, I think early on I was doing some AI transcriptions of some Google, of some like Zoom meetings. We had to transcribe things. But currently, you know, one of the things that when we talked about this at Comic-Con this last weekend is that, you know, there's really nothing out there that's ethically sourced. And until there is something that's ethically sourced, it's, you know, if we as voice actors don't want people to create synthetic voices, we shouldn't be creating synthetic images, and we shouldn't be using AI to make movies, and we shouldn't be using AI to write stories and do all of those things until we can ensure that they're, you know, that they're ethically sourced. But, you know, currently I don't think there really is anything that is ethically sourced.
And I'm so personally afraid of like agreeing to something on a website, hitting the little agree button and not.
Right. Yeah.
Like, right. Like, yeah.
And then putting my voice into something, because like now I'm not going to do it until Nava and Vocal Variants is like, this is the platform that is fair compensation and. Yep. Has been discussed, and you know what I mean, like when they let me know I can do it, I will probably explore the options and see where you know. But it's taking away the artistic, you know,
ability.
I agree.
Like, what is my synthetic doing at night? That would I have said that way? I don't know, you know.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And are you guys creating resources for how we can best educate our clients without being, hey, everything you're testing right now is wrong? Say e-learning. E-learning has very, very strongly been at least trying to transition to AI in some sectors.
In a lot of places,
Yeah. So do you guys have any resources on how to educate clients without being pushy or forceful?
You know, it's tough to educate clients because it's hard to tell what their basis for education is. A lot of people just see this as a tool that they're going to put into place, as opposed to something that's going to put voice actors out of business. But you know, we have our synthetic AI page, we have our AI writer, we have the 13 questions to ask on the website, on the Nava website, which is what you really, the best thing to do is educate yourself so that you know whether it's safe to work to work on these jobs. So
yeah, and eventually I'll be putting up a page on the VO Collective website that it just pretty much points to the Nava website, just so that we have more. Yeah. You know, SEO on it and stuff like that. So when you're searching, you know, the good information will show up, and that's kind of, you know, that's all we can possibly do is point people in the right direction, hope they make the right decisions.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And so, so Nava's basically built on gaps in the industry where you're like, we want to provide resources. We want to provide advocacy. So what is like the next gap that you see Nava trying to tackle?
I'm not sure. We'll see it when it shows up. We'll handle it.
Fantastic.
it's kind of been the way we've been running with it, you know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that a lot of what happens, a lot of what's going to happen is going to be contingent on what happens with the SAG-AFTRA strike tomorrow, with the vote on the strike, on the agreement tomorrow, and what legislation goes into place. So tomorrow is the SAG-AFTRA vote, and then the next day is the, I believe, the first draft or first vote on the EU AI Act in the European Union.
Okay.
Which could potentially put some protections in place, but we don't know. So the next couple of days really are going to show us a lot of things.
Fantastic.
And we'll see what happens, you know, with those things. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. And so, Jay, what was your goal when taking over Vorg? Because that thing started in, like, what, 1988? That thing's been around for a while. So, like, why did you want to take that over?
Well, I've been building the VOC website out of my own free time since I started this. And I just kept adding pages and making it, you know, oh, that was pretty much what Nav was doing. I was like, oh, that was missing. We needed that. Oh, we need a page for this. Oh, and then, you know, our good friend Brad passed away. And so I made a page dedicated to him. And so like through those things, you know, a lot of stuff has formed and been created. But because that website existed when Rick was looking for someone to take the Vorg into the next chapter of its life cycle, he found the VO Collective website and was like, this is what I want the Vorg to look like. This, it's, you know, so he reached out to me first and gave me the first option. And I was like, what? I mean, I literally had, when I first was taking workshops and classes, I picked up a Vorg at the Voicecaster. I was like, oh, what are these? Are these, how much are these? And oh, free, take one. And I literally had it with me for to me all the time. And I would use it to find agents. I would use it to find a demo producer. I would use it to find workshops, classes. I would use it to find studios and go and send them emails and say, I didn't even know you're right down the street from me. Like all this, I just kept using it. So like it had a place for me. And as I found out, it had a place for a lot of people in LA. It was just like the little golden rule book, and it had all the rates inside. So it's like, even in my beginning, I was like, what should I, you know, on the pay to plays and when I was starting, I was like, what should I charge? Let's open the Vorg. And how about this price? You know, it's like, it was even guiding me then. So when I got the opportunity, I was like, give me a sec. Hold on. I called Tim. I was like, we have an opportunity to do this.
Right.
Like, yes, let's just do it.
Yep.
I was like, well, I wanted to bring Tim in immediately because we just work really, really well together. I have no idea how this man does what he can do and stay calm. I mean, it's absurd and it's inspiring. And it's one of the reasons, like, I just love him so much. And I knew I couldn't do it without, you know, Tim, you know, and I think we just work good that way. He knows people that I don't know. And I know people that, you know, and we all have our own a trustworthy network. Or if I say to anybody, oh, Tim needs something, everyone's like, oh, of course, you know, and I'm hoping, you know, from
No, absolutely.
So anyway, I took it and we needed to rebuild it all. So from the ground up, basically, to make sure that it took like a 2.5, maybe 3 year hiatus, pretty much, of like getting updated. The website really didn't work. It didn't search anything. Like, it was nice that it was there, but it didn't like really search. Like you can go into the search bar and like get really anything useful. And so we found somebody through the network that was an amazing web designer, and he actually built the Nava website too.
Yep.
That's sick.
And he built this sucker from the ground up, and it still gets some bugs to fix out, but it's incredibly working amazing. And it's kind of what we all envisioned and in some ways better than we hoped it would be. And so we're just going to keep on improving it and kind of get it into, like, we sent 150 to advertising agencies this year because we really want people like the advertising agencies and the game developing companies to like have a Vorg nearby so that, you know, they don't have to like, we need a voice. Should we go to one of these pay to play sites? You know, like they could just open the Vorg and pick up a casting director or, you know, an agency and be like, oh, wow, I didn't even know there was an agency in this state. Great. Let me just call them because they have like trained actors. You know, it's like we need to get the world back into like doing that kind of thing. And I think the Vorg is a great way to do it.
Yeah.
And so as you've become more established in your career, what are resources in the Vorg that you still use most often to this day?
Oh, I mean, me and Meg travel all the time. So like we're always somewhere else. I literally in the last 3 months have used the Vorg website and the Vorg in my car to find studios that I needed to like go record in. While we just recorded a digital one in Oregon.
Yeah.
On our like trip for our wedding anniversary, but it was like I needed a place, and the Vorg was like, "There's one 10 minutes away from where you're staying," you know. And it's like that, super necessary, you know. And then as people are coming into the Vorg, like I didn't even know Tennessee Voiceover Studio was a thing, and they were like, "Hey, we want to be a part of this." So like,
oh, Christy's great
because they came in. And you know, now I'm learning about all these places, and I feel more confident when we're traveling that I know where to go. You know, it's like, I know there's going to be people that are, you know, there's training everywhere. There's like all the way, you know, it's kind of amazing how big the VO community really is when you take a step back and look at it on a map.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, now it's Matt's. And, you know, that's really one of, you know, especially the website particularly has been really, you know, Jay had a great vision for what he wanted to see on the website. Yeah. With, you know, because of, you know, the way that Jay works and the way that a lot of others us don't work is that you travel so much, you and Megan travel so much. So, you know, we really wanted to find something, you know, that was useful. So it was great to have basically Jay build this from what tool do I need if I'm out there on the road traveling? What do I need to have access to? As opposed to us having to try and guess what people might need. It actually was a great test case for us to see if it works, is just let Jay and Meg go travel around the country and use the Vorg and make sure they can get what they need, you know. But, you know, I think, you know, one of the things on there that I think we want to share, this, you know, probably the best resource on there is the map feature that we have, the map search, where you can look at every single listing. 375 or 380 listings in the Vorg are all on a map.
Yeah.
And you just zoom into where you are. You know, we need to fill in some holes. We've got big gaps in the country where there are no studios or other things out there, but we're working on filling those gaps in. So hopefully you can go to any major city in this country and look on the Vorg and find a studio. That's what we really want to, you know, would like to have happen. So it's the Vorg, and just go to the map feature, map button.
And training too. It's like, you know, somebody in Iowa is like thinking they want to be a voice actor, and like, from Iowa, they can go to this regional section on the website and find, you know, workshops, studios, things like that right nearby. Without having to, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you would have done it without, like, a place, other than, you know, go to Google.
Yeah.
The thing about Google is, like, it's not all correct all the time. Like, there's so many times I'll research something and I'll drive all the way to a studio and it doesn't exist anymore. Or it was like a studio in somebody's home and I'm now in a residential area and there's like,
right.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know where I am. So it's like, you know, it's same kind of Google thing, but it's like, it's been double checked.
We say it's like Google, but more accurate. We know because we've checked it. So, you know, everything in here, at least, you know, over this last year, everything that's listed currently in the Vorg has been personally verified to be accurate. Now, things are going to change, so we have to keep updated, you know, make sure we keep updated on things. But, you know, there's no more studios. Hopefully, you know, first thing we did was take all the studios that didn't exist anymore and got, you know, coaches who were no longer working, directors who, you know, coaches who had passed away who were still listed, and tried to make sure that it was, you know, was current and useful, because the worst thing you can do is have something in there that's, you know, it's listed, but it's not accurate information, or it's not a studio that exists anymore. And that's going to change. And, you know, part of us is to make sure that this is, you know, this is a living document. And if you find something, you know, it's a living website. If you find something, a studio that's out of business, or you find somebody you want to have listed, or you find a great resource, the new studio that popped up, we want to know about that. We want to get that on the website and make sure it's listed. You know, so we need help from the community as well. Like, if you see a gap in there, let us know. We'll fill it in.
How would someone let you know?
On the website, there is a contact the Vorg. There's actually also a free listing button on the website, so you can just go, and if you're our studio, you can just go and get a free listing on the website. And in the print edition, and fill that information out, and we'll get that. Yeah,
the studio,
listing,
and then we'll get it up on the site and we'll verify it. And eventually, down the road, maybe at the end of the next year, hopefully, we'll see. But people will be able to go on there and like they'll handle their own listings and be able to update their own listings and choose upgrades if they want and stuff like that. And so it might all be taking place on the site, but that's a big goal. But there's still so many little things to take care of before that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the whole voiceover resource guide is paid for by advertisers.
Yeah.
Correct. Yep. Advertisers and sponsors. Yeah. Yep.
Gotcha. So are you guys vetting your advertisers to make sure that you guys don't have like a quality list of like demo producers and then like a demo meal goes and tries to like.
Yeah. I mean, it's not open.
You know what I mean? Are you?
Yeah. It's not open. I mean, we're selective in that. You know, we everybody in here are people we've worked with, people we know. You know, as new people have come in and have looked for advertising, you know, we've checked with them to make sure to try and get as best we can. You know, part of it is, you know, as much as Jay and I do know everything, we don't know everybody. So we do try and, you know, rely on feedback from the community. If there's somebody in here who shouldn't be in here, or if there's, you know, there's a production company that's changed their ways and now they should be back in the Vorg because they're back in the community and they're trying to do something, or a coach who's left for a long time and is now back in the community. Or, you know, somebody who's brand new and is great to be working with, we should get them listed in there. There's a new studio that pops up. There's a new demo producer, whatever this might be. You know, we want to make sure that we can, you know, listen to the community as well. It's not just, you know, Jay and I just deciding, but it's also feedback from the community and people who've worked with these people and saying, this is, you know, these people are worth having in there. It'd be great.
Yeah. Fantastic. And we need, like, with the great sponsors we have, we don't really ever just need money. You know what I mean? Like, we're not, it's
yeah.
not
yeah.
like anyone
yeah.
not going to come with us and be like, here's $5,000, put me on the front page. Like, we're going to say, right. well, we're going to look at who they are first. And if they, you know, it's like, and we have, I can use the Nava board and the VOC advisors if I don't know anything and just be like, anybody yeah. know anything about this? And then we can get feedback that way.
Yeah.
Awesome. So with building and advocating and creating and educating all of these organizations, how do you guys have time to get any VO work done?
I don't.
You don't?
No, this has been, I mean, at least for me, this has been everything I've been done this year has been, you know, Borg and Nava Borg, Borg Nava. That's what this year needed to be, you know. And as we move into next year, at least for myself, you know, I have my regular clients and I still have my regular work that I do, but it's finding new, you know, new work and getting auditions done and stuff. You know, Jay's in a different boat, you know, from that. He's been able to dig into the career side of things, but, you know, not all the time, because, you know, some of this is working on the Vorg. It is working on, you know, the Voiceover Collective website. It is doing all of these things that, you know, all of those things do take away from our ability to do our craft, which is our, mm-hmm. you know, the career that we do. So,
yeah. And I said earlier, I do not know how Tim does it at all. Like, I literally have been waking up extra early now. We wake up at like 5 just so we can have coffee and our walk and then get our auditions in, because I've got some auditions that come in past. We try to be done working voiceover audition wise by like 4 or 5 these days. And I have auditions that come in between 4 and 6 that are due at like 8 a.m., 9 a.m. Yeah. So there's no way to do that anymore other than sacrifice our nights, wake up way earlier, get everything done, get everything in on time. And like, I've had to miss meeting after meeting because I have a session, you know, now I have, you know, it's like, so I don't ever want to get another job other than, you know, acting. So I work my ass off, you know, 8-9 hours a day, just making sure me and Meg are in one booth. So
right.
Yeah. Wait till the day we have two separate ones. So it's like a lot of back and like ping ponging our schedules. And then I always feel bad. I'm like, Tim, I do need this one thing. And I know for a fact how busy Tim is, like doing all of this stuff plus running like,
oh shit. And I forgot that one thing that you needed. Thanks for reminding me.
I do.
That one thing. Damn, you do. I did. I forgot that one thing you needed. It's going on my to-do list right now.
Yeah.
But, seriously, that's hilarious. But yeah.
But it's funny. It's I'm always, every time we get a chance, that sometimes me and Tim just talk for like 5 minutes just to like fix something on the phone rather than waiting for the email.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, as soon as I hear, we can hear it in each other's voice, like how busy the day's been that day.
Right. <I know. laughs>
He's like, yeah, I'll do that for you. Okay, talk to you soon. Okay.
Yeah, 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 but, yep.
That was yep. the middle of a meeting, and he took a call for me.
Yeah. You're like, yep, what are you doing? Oh, yeah, I'm in the middle of a session right now, or I'm walking into a session. And you're like, okay, yeah, go do your thing. Let's go. We get, you know, we get.
So is the plan to make these organizations self-sufficient so that way you guys can go back to working on your craft full-time?
I have no plan.
You have no plan?
We've never had a plan.
Goal
and a vision. And I have no idea how we're getting there, but it's kind of magic. Yeah. You know, we let the world help us out, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think we go where we're needed, and that sometimes doesn't always involve a plan. But
it makes us great voice actors in any way. You know what I mean? Like, we could plan to go to dinner, but then book a job for, you know, someone across the water. And we have to leave dinner and go work. So we're so malleable in ways, like, you know, plan could be canceled for something else.
Yeah. With that said, we do want to make money off of this at some point so that we're not just losing money and investing money. You know, I mean, we can't, it's not sustainable for us to, you know, because as much as, you know, even for Nava and the Vorg, as much as we, you know, get the companies running themselves from the sponsorship and donations, you know, Jay and I don't pay ourselves and we don't get paid for any of the stuff. So we basically work for free, you know, and that's only sustainable for so long.
We can sustain that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The same thing. It's like, we're trying to do the best we can, but we'd love to see it like flourish. And then we could hire people to do some of these day-to-day things.
Yeah.
And we could have more time for our craft. And
which we're starting to do. I mean, we've got, you know, like the Vorg, we've got a great team with the Vorg, the VO Weekly Workout. There's 4 of us, you know, that help run the VO Weekly Workout. The Nava, you know, there's about 25 people on the Nava board that help run things. And yeah, the Vorg itself, we've got, there's four of us who help run the Vorg. We've got a great team. You know, the soundbox, the studios that I have for the studios, I've got a solid team of six or eight people that run, help run the studios. But, you know, it's still something that Jay and I primarily still have to do ourselves. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, or it just becomes quicker and easier. It's like, it's longer for us to explain how to do something than it is for us just to do it. But that, you know, that's the growth. That's what it takes, is as these businesses get bigger and as they start to, you know, kind of become more self-sustaining, not so much in, you know, in the fact they make money, but in the way that they operate. Mm-hmm. A lot of this is just us figuring out, you know, like when we, you know, we took over the Vorg, we had to basically figure out how we were going to operate the business. How are we going to take all these things that we want to do and put this into a business form and put this into something that is going to be useful and that people are going to want to do and people are going to pay for. You know, the Vorgs are free. You go and pick up a Vorg anywhere. We charge for shipping if people want to get one, you know, but you can get one. You just order one off the website and, you know, it's what, $7, I think, for the big one now, since they're so big for us to ship. But show up to a studio and grab one and take one. The whole point is they're supposed to be a resource for people. So how do we keep that resource free and accessible and then still be able to actually make a valuable resource that is usable? And, you know, so we've got two people who help us, Joanne Lichtenstein and Michelle Haynes, who have just, you know, just busted their ass these last year and a half, 2 years, to make sure that information is correct in there, to make sure everything looks correct, to make sure that everything, you know, is that they're based, you know, they're essentially kind of, you know, Jay and I have a vision and they're executing on that vision, I guess, you know, to a certain extent. You know, we have an idea and we're like, let's get some people to do it. And we try and figure out how to do it and we do it, you know, but it's getting those people like that really help.
Yeah. And I don't know what we do without those ladies.
Yeah, I know. Right. Yeah.
And with all this building and juggling, how are you guys maintaining burnout? I mean, past, you know, early morning walks and coffee, like how are you guys recharging your own internal batteries to keep working on these things?
I don't know. I never stop. I don't ever say, I mean, I think burnout is, I mean, burn, I don't know. I have a whole different perspective on the Jay and I are.
I mean, well, I mean, yes, spectrum, so, I understand. Know. I understand that, that vein, but like, you know, I mean, you can only do so many minute tasks over and over and over and over again. And you know what I mean? Until,
yeah.
I mean, maybe that's just my way of thinking, but
I think Tim and I, ultimately the one of the lines that we are the same on is that we thrive in helping people. Like, yeah. We really do. Like, it's, I don't know, I wouldn't do it if it was just for the money. Like, we have this like energy that is given to us from the good that we are putting out there. I think other than that, I start to drink my first glass of wine around like 5 and it starts to shut down my like to-do list, which is like, I think my, you know, me and Meg make sure we have our glass of wine, we go get some dinner, we go out and about, and then we come back and start in the morning. Tim doesn't stop. So the stuff gets done at night. You know, it's like, I don't know how he does it, but he's still always friendly to be around. He's
magical. You sure you're not an AI, Tim?
Like, yeah, potentially. Yep. Tomorrowland over here, you know.
Tomorrowland, right. So where can people...
Your music.
Was it?
What?
You play your music.
Yeah, I go out once a, you know, once a week and play.
Yeah,
so that's cool.
Thing that I don't, you yeah. know, I don't. But Tim, he's got his band and his music and he's you're a master, aren't you?
Yeah, sure. He's got. I am competent.
You are competent. So where can people find the Vorg and the Collective and NABA? Where can people find all of these organizations?
The Vorg.net is probably the easiest website for that. thevorg.net. Voiceover Collective is what is that one, Jay?
The voiceover collective.
That's right. Okay, thevoiceovercollective.com.
community.com, and it goes there too.
Vocommunity.com. nice. NAVA is navavoices.org, and then the Facebook pages are private, which you can, if you can find them, you can probably, you know, apply to get into the Gardner Collective.
You can click the website, go to the community page and link to the Gardner Collective.
Beautiful.
It's all around somewhere. Well, what is that, VO, what is it?
VOCommunity.com? Or it might be thevocommunity.com.
Let me see. That's a new one. Let me see. Yep, thevocommunity.com. Nice.
Beautiful. And I will make sure all of that's in the show notes. Thanks for coming on, guys. This has been a blast.
Good thing. Awesome. Well, thanks for having us, man. It was great.
I hope you gain half as much insight and knowledge from these amazing resources Jay and Tim have built to advocate for the voiceover industry. If you'd like to join Nava, you can hop on over to navavoices.org. And if you'd like information on local studios, resources, and more, you can visit voiceoverresourceguide.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you in the next one.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit vocoffeeshop.com and our YouTube channel or your favorite podcast streaming platform. You know you want to.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.